Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Christine Williams.
You are listening to Fiber Talk, that twice weekly podcast. And we have to behave this week, Christine. Twice weekly podcast for people who make fine art with needle and thread.
Okay.
We have to behave because Jeanette Douglas is our guest this week, and she's really talented, and so we have to, you know.
Best behavior.
Yes.
Hi, yes, Jeanette. Or the Stitch Police will be after you.
Right.
Uh-oh.
Okay. All right. Got to shape up. This is not, yeah, all right. Formal questions and everything.
All right. A game.
Yeah. Follow the code.
So. See, I heard about you first. It was your Letters from Mom design, and it was either from the Acorns and Threads workshop that you did, and or from Linda Jo or Michelle Garrett. I'm not sure which. They all.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they all were, you know, raving about you. So then it was, who is this? And I have to see these designs. And then it was the Letters from Mom was the one. So.
Aww.
So yeah, once that happens, then you got to be on the show. It's just that way it is.
Oh, yeah. Wow, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
I actually, when we were in Nashville, I saw, I'm assuming it was you, visiting with Kimberly Young from Sassy Jacks. And I thought, now who's that? And all these questions. And so anyway, I'm assuming it was you. But.
Yep, it was me. And once I saw that you were at Nashville, I really kicked myself for not hunting you down. But limited
well,
time.
I don't get out much. Yeah.
Limited time and a whole lot of people. That's an active show there. That's fun. Do you do that show every year?
Yeah, I have for 10 plus years. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now, do you, okay, here's one formal question number one.
Yes.
When, because you try to have at least a handful of designs for a show like Nashville, when do you start working on those? Is it an ongoing thing, or do you kind of say, look, I need to get started by X month or I'll never make it?
Well, that's a good question. I'm mostly...
Hey, check that out, Christine. Think, first formal question's a
well
good one.
Done.
Huh?
Well, I think it most likely one would say, and I think a lot of people do, you kind of hunker down in November and you begin. You've sort of rolled around some thoughts in your head for a while, and then you're like, okay, I got to sit down and do this. But because I teach so much, I generate quite a bit of pieces that I can slowly, you know, as the years go by, I've been able to, okay, I'm going to save that one for Nashville because, you know, and then I kind of have a few things done already, which really helps so that I'm not all doing it in November, December, January. Yeah.
So it really is kind of a rolling idea implementation thing.
Yeah, I mean, I make many lists. I'm a real list person, except it would be good if I looked at them more frequently.
I do the same thing. I have a whole notebook of things. I sat today going through going, you know, I should probably read some of the things I've written.
Exactly. They were good things.
They were at some time.
I know. So, you know, the list, and you try to kind of work on that list all year. Like if something strikes you, you think, okay, that, you know, that would be a fun little thing to debut in Nashville. Or like I saved Letters from Mom, for example, for Nashville so that I could, you know, do a good job on advertising, you have a captive audience. You know, all those things matter because now I think so much is generated by the designer herself or himself because, you know, we used to rely when I first started. Well, you didn't have, like, I didn't have a clue. I relied on my local shop, you know?
Yeah.
It's just changed. Now you are doing your promotion in a much different fashion, I think, than we used to. And Nashville's a great venue for that.
Yeah, it's a neat format for a show. It really gives you a chance and a lot, plenty of chance to interact with different shops from all across the country. Well, actually, around the world. I mean, there's people all over. I did not expect that. Yeah, I did not expect that. I thought it would be a lot of shops from the East Coast and a few others. And no, that wasn't the case at all.
Yeah, no, it is. It's been, and I think actually that part of it is growing a bit. I would say, well, I don't know. You know, it ebbs and flows. I'm just trying to think of like 10 years ago, I felt like a stunned rabbit the first time I came. It was like, what? what are we doing now? You know? just, and now you just kind of, okay, we're doing this. Yeah.
Do you have, like, I did not stick my nose in your room that I recall, but do you have the pretty much the same layout? That whole thing, transform a Embassy Suites room into a store is quite, you could see there's quite an art to it. Everybody has a different approach. Do you use the same kind of setup every time, or do you change that too?
Oh, we change that too, because like, for example, last year it was Canada's 150th birthday, 150th birthday. So I decorated my room Canadian, with, you know, sort of red and white kind of thing. So, and then this year I kind of decorated because of the letters from mom thing. So I did postal boxes and stuff like that. So yeah, you kind of go, but I've learned that like in the beginning, I was like, what? And then people had these beautiful rooms and you're like, oh, wow.
it makes a difference.
Yeah, it does. You grow into that. You know, I think everybody is simple in the beginning and then you kind of grow into it and you gather things, you know, we like to gather. So.
Yeah. Well, you've been at this a long time and so you've seen the internet and Facebook and all of those things mm-hmm. come into play. How's that? Yeah. You've had to adjust all along the way and obviously have made those adjustments. Has that been mostly positive for you or has it been really frustrating at times?
I wouldn't say frustrating. I would say it's just the volume of what you have to learn. Does that make sense? Like, you know, I don't mind learning it. And I quite love the internet and kind of what it opens up. But as you know, if, you know, some of my earlier work was geographical and how I would go and research that was, I would go to the children's section in the library, get children's books on, because I did like the whole Canadian Journey series, and get books on the area. And I've done many Canadian cities and then also some American. And then I just would gather in the library. Well, now I don't have to do that anymore. I don't have to go to the library. But, you know, that's a huge change. And just to adjust to, for me, research, you know, and I used to get books on cross stitch and books on teaching. Because when I was first new, even at that, I was like, well, how do I do this? I was a nurse for 35 years and now I'm teaching. And, you know, luckily there's crossover with nursing and teaching, but.
Oh yeah. Well, that's, you know, that's something that, that I find, cause I started out as a teacher and now do trade magazines. And, you know, I've had people ask me in the past, you know, how do you make that transition? And to me, it really wasn't a transition. I'm just teaching a different audience through a different medium.
Yes.
But the principles are the same.
Yeah. And I mean, I tell my students in class, this is lovely because I did psychiatric nursing. Oh. And so every day you would get told, you know, nasty things and to just, you know, turn around and leave and not bother them. in a very nasty way. And now people are like, oh, it's so great to see you. It's quite lovely. I must say it's been great.
So one of the challenges was, I mean, using software. I mean, how did you chart in the early days?
Oh, you don't want to know. It was on graph paper with a pencil.
Okay.
My very first pattern, Rocky Mountain Sampler, is still on that, but I have redone it because it still continues to sell quite well. So I had to redo it because I was just embarrassed to sell that thing. And then the next four, I condensed Excel, an Excel spreadsheet, condensed all the cells so that it looked like graph paper.
Oh.
And then I used that. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, you have issues because there's only so many symbols and, yeah, that kind of thing. So I was a little... yeah, and then you run out of the alphabet or whatever to put in the X. You know, you just can only have so many symbols for your use. And then I finally broke down and bought Easy Grapher. But I mean, at the time, I think that was about 2002. It was $500. Well, like that was like the moon to me to be buying that. You know, I don't know. If I would think that now, but I certainly did then.
Well, yeah, back then, I mean, all software, any software was a major investment. Jeez, it was
expensive. Right. And it's a big commitment.
Yeah. And then the program to do the stitch diagrams was like 350. And that was, of course, American. And you know how poor our Canadian dollar is. So that was made it even worse. Oh, but, you know, great investment. I'm still using it. So.
Oh, you still use the same software? Little did I know. Huh? Oh.
I still use the same software. He's done some updates. Actually, a few of us are. I don't know how many, but a few that I know that use the software were a little concerned because we really like it, but he hasn't done an update since I think 2006. So we're hoping
it's getting a little scary.
Exactly. But you know, now you can hardly turn around, right? How can you take, you know, years of drawings, right? Out of a system and begin again, right?
Do they convert well from system to system? Can you export it from one into another, or are they all completely incompatible?
I think, good question. I don't actually know, but I would suspect not. You know, the only thing you can do is export as a JPEG or a bitmap or that kind of idea, or a TIFF. But otherwise, I wonder, I don't know. Good question. See,
as many as you have, if you had to switch to another software package, I can just imagine.
Exactly. Oh. Just alphabets alone, right?
Right.
Jeez. Redraw 26 letters.
Yeah. But there has to be a way. There has to be a way to convert.
I know. You know, you brought up something I'd actually never thought of, like that you could take them. So interesting. Yeah. I'm writing that down. Yeah.
Adding it to a list that she never looks at.
Yeah, my list. that's right.
And that symbol thing, that interests me. Is that's got to be one of the hardest things, or I mean, how do you go about that? Do you just take DMC colors and assign symbols to the different colors, and that's the way they are in every chart, or how do you work that all out?
Well, I thought I was being very clever. And in this last chart, Vintage Animals, and I had a diamond symbol for the Weeks Dye Works color bark. And then I thought, oh, well, I should just use a B. B is for bark. That's easy to remember, you know. Well, foolish me. I change it in the graph, but I don't change it on the color key. So guess what got printed? And I thought, oh yeah, that's going to work out super. I'm going to have B's for bark. So I, you know, in telling you that silly little story is you do try to think of symbols that will work somewhat for the colors. Well, I do anyway, but it may not seem like it, but I try to.
And that's right. You've been through, you've seen the explosion of threads from all sources.
Oh, yeah.
A plus, but for a designer, also a negative in that it's almost an embarrassment of riches, I would think.
I don't know how familiar you are with my things, but I do use a lot of silk, which, of course, isn't in the color keys. So mine is really a lot of imagination, I find. You know, when I started this little series of vintage animals, vintage flowers, and vintage birds, that was just cross stitch. And I actually hadn't done a lot of cross stitch. And I was like, oh, I could actually use the blue in it and it would be blue. it was very revolutionary for me because I'm always imagining what it might be. So I'm lucky I have a good imagination, I guess, because if you think of specialty stitches and that kind of thing, none of that is color. Like you can draw the stitch, but it isn't in color, right? It's just a black line.
Yeah.
So sometimes I definitely have imagined it wrong and we have to change.
Yes. And so, yeah. So you use a mix, but you here, I'm finding your vintage animals. I had not looked at those. Oh my. See, this is the dangerous part about talking to designers.
See, Gary has his credit card out and the internet available.
Dangerous.
Yeah. You add to the pile of charts.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, vintage animals. Well, I started actually in 2011 with vintage stars, and I just did Quaker stars. And then I thought, oh, well, you know, we like flowers, so I should do some flowers. So I did that a few years ago, never really thinking of it as a series, not even then. And then it was like, oh, yeah, the birds would be kind of cute. So then I did birds. And then, of course, I had to do animals. So
yeah.
So then I did the alphabet is the tree trunk and then the animals with it.
I see what we're doing here. Oh.
Yeah.
Don't look, Christine. Because it's trouble.
He's trying to do me a favor.
Yeah, it's trouble.
Yeah. Somebody just posted on Instagram today. She had done the animals and the birds, and now she was going to work on the flowers, but she'd framed them really neat. And then she'd left a space and she said, guess what I'm going to put there? And of course, vintage flowers, because she'd finished the other two. So it was really cute. She'd found great frames for them and cute little series.
Well, that's kind of one of the things just here in the past couple, 3 years is we're really seeing people get inventive with their finishing. You're an example of that with that your journey box thing. And
yeah.
I mean that it just is really going, saying, all right, I can't frame everything and I don't want to frame everything. What else can I do with it? And it's for me, it's just really fun to see the ideas people are coming up with.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, it was, again, one of those things, you know, the pressure to have a class. It was, the first one was Bird Box for Celebration of Needlework. And Pam from Old Colonial Designs runs it. And Pam says, well, you know how those stitchers, they like some of them smalls, you know, but they like it sampler style. And I'm like, well, okay. You know, and your brain is a big blank. Hey, that's what I'm doing. And then I said, you know, I ran it past her and I said, well, what about if, like, we have this box? Because I'd found this box at Michael's, and but I didn't really like it. So then I asked, Wayne from Doodling Around at the time, Cavern Mary Woods makes them now, but asked Wayne, okay, so if I give you dimensions, like, can you make me a box? And that's kind of actually a good point to make. Many things you have to first figure out if you can get enough of them, because you cannot use something, because I got these cute little egg cups I want to use, but I only have two, so I can just put that out of my mind. Two isn't enough. Then with this box thing, yes, they could make the box. And then I was off. It was like, okay, I've got dimensions. I can make these little smalls that you can have a little scissor keep and a little, you know, place to keep your needles and have your little sampler. And that's really how, you know, and then it was like birds. Well, we could do pumpkins because now it's the fall. And then, yeah, and then you just keep going, right?
Yeah. Well, you really started with the box on this thing. And then,
you're right. The box. Yeah.
And then each tray is the same. So there's three smalls on the side. And then, on the left, 2/3 is a larger piece.
Yeah. And then
the whole idea
because
the whole idea is to pull one out and put it on top on display according to the season or holiday or whatever.
Right.
Oh.
Right. And that they just built that for me, like I said, okay, now we have this many boxes. We need to put them in something. and then they're like, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, I want like a little Lazy Susan thing, and I want a little box thing, and I want it like little drawers. And okay, so they went to work, and we've got a really cute little shadow box stand. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're not just your stapled together boxes either. Those are...
They do some nice work. Yeah.
Where are they located?
They're in Wisconsin.
Oh. Right up the road. Yeah.
Yeah.
Road trip, Carrie.
Yep. Road trip.
Let's see how they're made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, because this is a great idea, because you can now you can just go on forever with designs with this.
For my little shadow box turntable, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it could, but see, now there's a thing, right? How long do you, use something like that? You want to keep it special, and so I often find you kind of have to have an end date, you know?
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Otherwise, you just get known for that one thing, and then you could also imagine, you know, getting bored yourself of just designing within the same constraints of the same size and style of piece.
Yeah. And then it's not special anymore, right?
Right. It has to be fun for you too.
Yeah. That's what I find happens to me, is I kind of need to, keep it all, all going in a different way. Like not always the same, although, like if I think of my first pieces, what I do now for the cruises that I do, I don't know. Did I tell you about that?
No.
Maybe not.
No.
So I do stitching cruises. We've done them since 2009. In 2004, I taught in London, Ontario for a shop. And ended up in the same room as this lady called Judy. And okay, that's fine. So I taught for the weekend, and Judy and I got to know each other, and you know, we kind of hit it off. It was pretty good. And then in 2007, she phones me and she says, Jeanette, I've bought a cruise ship center and we're going to do a cruise. And I went, yeah, right.
Really?
Yeah, sure.
Tell me more about this thing we're doing.
We're cruising, are we? Oh, yeah. We're going to do a stitching cruise. And I said, oh, yeah, right. We're going to get like a dozen people. It's going to be really fun. I just didn't think, you know. Anyway, we did. We went to the Caribbean, and we had 70 people. It was great.
Your first time, and you had 70?
Yeah, like, right? I know. Wow. I was so surprised. So then, well, Jeanette, we got to do another one. Oh, I don't know, Judy. Maybe 24 will come. She said, Jeanette. And I went, okay. So we did it again. You know, I think the same people, maybe more, 90 maybe. I don't know actually anymore. What did we do then? Alaska maybe, or I think we did Alaska. And then we did Hawaii. And then we went to Europe and we did the Christmas markets on a riverboat. And then we filled the boat. So now the whole boat. So then we did the Christmas markets. And then last year we did Provence. So we did the Rhine. We did 3 days in Paris. And then we took the bullet train to Lyon. And then we got off in Arles, which is right by Marseille. And we took the bullet train to Barcelona and ended in Barcelona. And we filled the whole ship with city people. It was awesome. It was so much fun.
This sounds like the best trip ever.
Yeah, it was. It's amazing. So, yeah, lots of fun. So those patterns is what I was going to say are because, see, they're geographical again, right? I kind of do the little bits of, you know, the parts that we're going to see. But that's kind of how I started doing Canada, right? And so it's interesting to me that I've kind of gone back to some of the stuff that I did that many years ago, because it is sort of in the same fashion, because it just presents well, you know?
Yeah. So a ship full of stitchers. I wonder, the crew, what goes
on? They loved it. So the cruise director, he's been on all, we're going to Holland next year. We're doing Holland and Belgium. And we are getting the same cruise director, Dayon. He's been with us since the first time. So we request for him and we get him. And the captain this time, he wanted to come on the ship too. All the people were lovely. I think we just had so much fun. It was just great. The captain wants to be the captain on the next one.
The whole thing's reversed now. Who wants the stitch trip this year? Oh my.
Yeah. So yeah, we get to see the world, but we do some fun stitching, and then you have a really fun little piece at the end as a memory of your trip. And a lot of people finish them. I try to make them in a size that's doable and really reflects the trip. And yeah. So it's just lots of fun.
So you have several things through the year then that you must design for Nashville. And so you've got some ongoing obligation in addition to whatever just falls out of your head.
Yeah. A lot. Like this year it was really tight. I had, I taught at Acorns and Threads then. And, Michelle, Garrett was at, was in the class. So then she did a little thing on floss tube with me, which was very sweet of her. And then I flew from there to, I was home for 2 days, I think. And then I went to Stitchville and taught there. And then I was home a few weeks. And then I did the celebration of needlework. And then I went to Toronto and visited my family in between so that I wouldn't have to fly all the way back to Georgia, because then I taught in Georgia last weekend. So it's been a busy, busy.
Yeah, I've done a couple of orders with Stitchville. That Deb, she's terrific.
Isn't she great?
We have a family wedding in Minneapolis. That's where she's at, right?
Yes. Go to her shop. It's fabulous.
Oh,
yes.
You're telling me to go to her shop.
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
It's an awesome shop.
I think the list will be Stitchville, family wedding. Yeah. I think that's how it's going to go. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you could bring your stitching to the wedding.
Yes.
No, I'm sure no one would mind.
Oh, yeah. No, nobody will ever mind that. Yeah.
Yeah. What are your favorite things to stitch?
Yeah. Everything.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. Yeah. Both of you.
I think we differ a little bit. I think we're both a little bit all over the place, but I think I don't know. I'm doing needlepoint in let's see. I have a needlepoint piece going, a cross stitch piece going, some surface embroidery, and then I have a planned piece that's going to be a weird combination of cross stitch and stump work, which I haven't really talked about yet. So
stump work. Yeah.
Yes, that's a favorite of mine. That's where we differ.
Differ. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, I'm a needlepoint. Yeah. Needlepoint is what I learned, and that's what I really love to do. But I have to I have to say that, and it's all Nicola Partman's fault. I've really gotten sucked into this reproduction sampler world. It's
isn't it cool? Yeah.
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 The history.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I would love to do that too, but I can't add another thing in.
No. That's the problem.
Yeah.
You start one thing and then you just find, it's almost like you're afraid to find one more thing that you enjoy doing, because then how are you going to find time for the other thing?
Other things, I know, which you love just as much, for sure. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, my background is so varied. I kind of did a little bit of everything, and it's, every few years I go and do something else. So this is a long haul for me. I've never stuck with one thing as long as I have as this.
The sampler, reproduction samplers for me, but a lot of your work is sampler or sampler like. Is that really where your core design thinking is?
I grew up stitching, big pieces like the Paula Vons. I must have done the first 15 Paula Vons. So I did a lot of that kind, and I sort of grew out of that, not grew out, but it just didn't interest me anymore. And then in the 90s, Just Nan and Shepherd's Bush sort of came on the scene with these stylized samplers that's what I fell in love with. So that you had that mix of, whether you chose to do it as a fun floral or whatever the piece was, it had a nice little saying. Yeah, it was just a good mix for me. And then I found samplers and reproduction samplers, and then in my brain it kind of all meshed together.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yeah, because you have that reproduction sampler look to a degree, but then sometimes I think it's more Quaker sampler. It's just it is an interesting mix.
Yeah.
And it gives you a unique look, which of course is ideal, but
right, it's like interpretive.
I
see on your list here, how would you classify your designs, and when I read that question I'm like, oh yeah, I don't know. Because
I like
well, I put that on there because I just wondered if you tried to stay within kind of a folk design focus, or if you just let it happen, because everything seems to be in a kind of an arena, but then you have these other things that just go off on a tangent. And so I just wondered how you mentally went about it, or if you even thought about it.
Yeah, Well, you know, some of design is driven by what you need. So, for example, I teach for Shepherd's Bush every other year, and they give you a theme. So that theme, for example, last time was a travel theme, sort of a journey theme. So that's how Journey Box came to be.
Oh.
Because I thought, oh, I could do a little journey box, and then you could keep your little stubs of fun trips and whatever, you know. So sometimes when you teach different places, your focus is, well, for me especially, because I go back to so many places, I know the people, I kind of know what they like, and then I kind of do my take on it, I think.
Do you find that hard to do? Like, say, you got a cruise coming up and you have to have a design that fits the cruise. Do you find that hard? Or
no?
No,
okay. No, I like being given I like to do a few of my own sort of, you know, whatevers. Like Letters from Mom is, you know, just kind of, it came out just, you know, not as somebody gave me a theme, right? But I don't mind a theme because it helps give you a focus, I think is maybe what I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
Or else you just have all these things zinging in your brain. And yeah, there's no, that sounds terrible, but it just gives, yeah, it gives you focus. I think is probably the best way to say it.
Right. Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Yeah. See, I don't think that's terrible because for me, it would be, I'd like to have one thing zinging in my brain if I was going to design. And every one of you designers, just it's like you have so many, you can't get them all on paper fast enough. And I've spent more than one moment thinking, if I was going to do a design, what would I do? And then, you know, a half hour later, it's like, geez, I have, never mind. I'm just moving on to something else. Because it just doesn't gel. So, I don't know. Tell the story about Letters from Mom, because we mentioned that, and I think it is just a really neat thing. Tell that story.
Oh, thank you. It's it was one of those things, you know, you move through the stages of life, and mine, I was at letting go of my youngest, going to university. And just having a heck of a time with it. Just feeling, you know, you miss just talking to them about nothing, right? Like, mm-hmm. it's not like mm-hmm. you have these big, deep conversations all the time. And I missed the sort of the simplicity. And I kind of got to thinking, well, I didn't tell her this and I didn't tell her that. Oh, I better write that down. Oh, well, I should, you know, that's kind of a cute little thing. I should tell her that, too. As if she didn't know. Of course she knew. But, you know, that's how my brain worked anyway. So then it was like, well, that's fine. I could write her little letters. And then I thought, well, I don't know, writing little letters, that's kind of passe. You know, we just email or text now. And then I thought, yeah, but, you know, something lasting. I could stitch them. And then I was off and running. And then I thought, well, I could send her little notes. And then, yeah, and that's kind of how it all started. And I thought, yep, I'm going to start with the school year. And, yeah, September was then forget-me-not. Like that first one, I used a Quakerism, you know, that is around, right? Forget-me-not. Remember Me and A Token of Love. Those, I think, are in Quaker pieces. The other ones I made up. But I went and, researched how people would have spoken in Quaker times. And that's how I came up with how they're written all the other months.
Let's back up a little bit for people who don't know. So, this is a monthly thing that you have going. Is this? I'm really not up to speed on it, other than I've heard the story, and So do you start out, you have this envelope you show on your website. It looks like it's an
yeah,
envelope.
So I had...
How does the program work, basically?
So you start with, you know, building your envelope that you're going to put your letters in, or you can stitch it as a sampler, and that the words, letters from mom, become the center of the sampler. But in the beginning chart, you get the lowercase and uppercase alphabets so that you could put, you know, letters to... or letters from Nana, or letters from Oma, or, you know, whatever, whether it's grandmother, or to give to your nephew, or give to your friend. So you have an alphabet to build what you want.
Okay.
And that is your center, or you can put it on the front of a letter bag. And I had Carolina Stitcher build me a letter bag, and she sewed in that front panel called Letters from Mom. And then, then you sign up and you get each month consecutively. In fact, this week we've been shipping all week since Monday, and we have one more day to go, and I hope we'll be done, of shipping all the patterns to the shops.
Okay. So you sign up through a shop?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you don't sell direct, you sell only to shops, so...
Mm-hmm.
So if I go to my local shop and I sign up and I want to get the chart each month, and then they obtain that for me.
Yes, but I'm shipping. So Letters from Mom, the letter bag cover, it was released at Nashville so that people could get going and have that part done. And then now I'm shipping each monthly letter. So September, October, November are coming, I'm shipping those 3 months now. And then the next quarter will be the next three. So I'll ship them every 3 months.
And these charts are what, postcard sized?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, good question. I'm not quite sure. I think 3x5. If I remember correctly.
Okay. So it's a little design on a 3x5 with some little message.
Yes. Yes. And then you could do it however you want. You could put each month all around the center of the words, and all 12 fit nicely around the center words. Or then you finish it as a little note each month, and you could have like a little pocket in the back and put a little candy or, you know, a little, anything that you like in the pocket if you want.
It's a neat idea.
I really love this idea because you're right. It's difficult for it because the child is often there doing something new and school is busy and they're full. Their life is very full.
Yes.
Of new things. And yes. At the same time, you know, there's a little bit of a feeling of, oh, okay, now I have some time and freedom. And then there's a whole lot of, wow, I have all this time and freedom. And now what do I do?
Yeah.
So it kind of gives you time where even though you're not with your child, you're with them.
Yes.
In a way, you know, without intruding upon them in a creepy way. So it satisfies your need, you know, without being like that creeper mom that you know, is going to create a very maladjusted child.
That's right. Yeah, no, that's probably fair to say.
Yeah, I just like the idea. Well, we're empty nesters. Our son's been gone 3 years now, and we used to, our daughter's been gone a long time, and we see her, you know, the FaceTime and all those things, but
you know,
maybe 4 or 5 times a year we actually see them face to face, and our son lives not too far away, but he and I used to go to movies all the time. And there's been this, you know, the summer blockbuster movies are our kind of movie. And I've yet to see one with him. And it just hit me the other day that we've probably moved beyond that because he's just got, he has a life. He's got a wife and a dog and a house and and I said to Marga, my wife, I said, you know, I think I've lost my movie buddy. And then you know, it was kind of one more reminder that the kids are gone. And then I went to the last two movies by myself because I wanted to see them. And, you know, it was just one of those things. And then when we were going to talk to you, and I thought, you know, letters from mom, letters from dad, whatever it is.
Yes.
It really does speak to that phase in life when the kids move on and have their own lives, literally. And and there you are. You know, empty nesting's pretty nice. I'm not going to say it's not, but by the same token, you know, you just darn it, you miss the kids. And
absolutely, true. And that's exactly how I felt. It was like, yeah, go do your life, but wait, you know, you're kind of
right. And I always wonder too, because I know so many people that are parents that are either working parents or not working parents that don't have a hobby like we do, you know, like we are so involved in what we're doing and it's this, and you know, before it was this, it was something else. And like you're saying, you know, you're so involved in this and you're afraid to even pick up something else because you know, you'll be sucked into that. and at the same time, we're all saying, you know, how this rips at you. Yeah. This missing of a child. And I always think of people who don't have hobbies, who don't enjoy doing things like this, you know, looking forward to a project.
I know.
When that happens, where their project is their child, and when their child goes away, who do they become?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
That's one of the things about this that I see as a salve for that, because it – it gives you a space of your own. It gives you something that you have that isn't going to go away.
Well, and it's sense? Yeah. I wrote this. I also did a thing called My Stitching Album, and it was a book of poems. And one of them was the Milanese Stitch, and I called it Milanese Moment. And it was, you know, each moment in the fabric of our lives, you know. Our stitching helps us through our joy and strife. Anyway, I'm not saying it quite right, but our stitching does. And I think for me, that whole letters from mom, it was the letting go of your youngest out and being able to work through it. Cause that's how I work through things is stitching.
Mm-hmm. It gives you that outlet. Yeah. But still, you miss the kids, darn it.
Darn it.
Christine doesn't have that yet, but.
No, it's getting close, though.
It's a coming. It's a coming.
Nice. Well, the kids were, my daughter was home from Edmonton and her boyfriend, and then my other daughter and her husband and my husband, we all were bagging letters from mom. I made them all out. So all six of us are stapling and folding and bagging on Saturday night. How exciting.
How was your visit with your mom? She made us work. We're not going there for months.
Right.
Exactly.
So much for letters from mom. I never want to see another letter from my mom again.
I know. Uh-huh. So silly. Yep.
Uh-oh. Oh, well.
Yep.
Welcome home. Thanks for the help. Here's breakfast. See ya.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, and speaking of that, people always want to know what your workspace is like. Do you have a studio, or how are you set up?
Well, you know, it's good when our daughters go out with different kinds of boys. So, you know, a boyfriend's back with a carpenter. And the carpenter boyfriend was awesome. He built me an office. So it was we took two bedrooms, and he took out the wall and made it one big room. And then he took the closets for me, and then we measured out, you know, what would fit books. So then one is a whole bookcase, the closet with filing cabinets underneath. So that looks kind of cool. And then the other side is all our shipping stuff. And I have everything because I do a lot of thread packs with my patterns. So we have little buckets. And in the buckets is a little recipe card. And then the recipe card tells you how to make that thread pack. So it'll have, you know, 1 yard of this and 2 yards of that, et cetera, et cetera. So then that's how our closets are being used, you know, with the, he just kind of rebuilt them and made them a little bit bigger. And yeah, they're fabulous. And then
great.
We just have we have a big table in the center that we do all the work. And we have two desks, one for I have two girls who work for me. I have one desk for Wilma, who's here at least twice a week, if not more. And then Kathy often does, she'll come in once a week and help out, except when we're shipping. Everybody's been here every day this week. But she takes a lot of the stuff home and kind of does it on piecework, all the thread packs. So, like, if you need, you know, 300 of this or 300 of that for Nashville, then she takes that home and then works a few weeks on it, because obviously it's going to take a little bit of time to twist all the thread.
So you have somebody, you can just forget about that part, you know it's getting done.
Exactly.
Very nice.
Yeah, so I can focus on the designing, and I do all my own charting. So
stitch
I have to
then
own my mistakes. Yeah.
Stitch then chart, or chart then stitch?
Oh, well, mostly chart and then stitch. But
okay.
Then you make adjustments as you go. But
sure.
But mostly, well, first I do like a little pen and paper thing, and I just kind of do the layout and what I want where and that kind of idea. And then, but I do a lot of, I always call it like rumbling around in my brain. Like I have to give myself time to, just roll it around in my brain before I sit and draw. And then I can draw in an afternoon. But I have to have like several months, if not longer, sometimes 6 months, to just work it through, because there's so many other things to do, you know, that the design time actually becomes less and less, which is kind of sad.
Yeah, I think that happens. That's interesting, because I edit two magazines, and so I have to write two editorials in addition to other stuff, but two editorials, on one on architecture and one on manufacturing, plant manufacturing.
Okay.
And I hate doing the editorials, because I mean, it's 500, 600 words, but to have something original to say. And it's interesting to hear you describe how you do it, because I do the same thing. I write them in my head, and sometimes it's many days of. Yeah, like bike rides and
yeah,
and it's getting written in my head.
I used to say rain was my friend, because it was every time the wipers were on, it was like, oh, I gotta grab a piece of paper. Brilliant idea, but it's raining. It was the wipers.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Then there's at least one other person in the world who thinks like I do. Okay.
You're okay.
I'll take that. Yeah, and that's interesting. I'm sure that's one of the frustrations of having a business, is that your design time, your stitching time gets chewed up by other things. And
absolutely,
at some point, I'm sure you just put up barriers and say, enough of that. I have to go stitch, or I have to go design.
Yes. Yeah. It just, I think that time is just, I think the first pattern I ever did, I think I took 6 months to design it. And now, you know, you got 6 days. Like, it's just.
Right.
It's an interesting thing. But of course, you get better at it, right? Like, that was just the beginning. Like you didn't really know what you were doing or what it might look like in the end. Now, you know, I have that leisure of having done many that I can almost expect to know what it will be. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. That's your experience, but I'm sure that you'd be more than happy to have 3 solid weeks to do a design just to see what would happen.
Oh yeah. Wouldn't that be great? In my dreams.
Yep.
I hate to burst people's bubble that we do this for, you know what I mean? Like, I kind of feel bad saying that it sometimes is, you know, lickety split.
Well, that's not so terrible. I mean, you've done hundreds of them, and I'm sure that what you sell is the tip of an iceberg of things you've thrown away, and those are all,
for sure.
Yeah, those are all part of the experience too. So at some point, I think anybody would expect that you would be able to sit down and out of that experience assemble an attractive and original design in without taking months to do it. I mean, I don't think that's such a I mean, that's just part of the experience.
Yeah. Right. I think a large part of it, too, is that you have a very, very good grasp of what will be appealing and what will be saleable. And I think that's one of the hardest things to learn, too, because lots of people can make a piece that they like, but that's a very different endeavor than making a piece that lots of people will want to stitch, because those two things are not always the same thing. So learning to do the second is a lot harder.
Yes. Yeah. And I have my duds. I mean, we all do, but the garbage bin knows my duds. But, you know, luckily there isn't a ton of them, but yeah, you definitely have them. And I think my very first dud, I really struggled to not feel like a failure, you know, like to kind of get over it, you know?
Yeah. 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 Take a little hit there, but
Yeah. Well, Jeanette, because it is a, anyway, sorry.
Go ahead. No.
No, it's gone.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That happened to me earlier today, you know, too. Yeah. Yeah, I was sitting at the screen, and I had the next thing to do, and all of a sudden, blank, nothing. And I just sat there, and Margo's, we work in the same room. She says, "What?" I said, I set about to do something, and I can't, it's gone.
It's gone.
I don't know. Move on to another thing. It'll come back. Yeah.
Yep.
All right, Jeanette, we got to end this thing. Thanks so much. This has been a blast.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. This was great. The hour went quickly. That was awesome.
It will do that, yes. All right. Thanks, Jeanette. Thanks to everybody for listening. And Christine and I will be back on Wednesday.
Take care.